Coming up on TMS PM, I update.
We get all sporty up in here.
Your robot can heal itself.
Where'd my ring go?
Indian dogs are turning blue.
The Falcons did a weird thing.
App time.
Your Twitter questions and more on this episode of TMS PM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMS PM.
Did you guys hear that crackle? That was me. Listen. Wait, I won't do it now. Hold on. I can't get it to do it now, but yeah, sometimes
What specifically was crackling, Scott?
Well, it's my freaking mixer has this weird thing where I feel like it's shorting on one of the volume sliders. And so once in a while, if I don't jiggle it around before I do the show, then it makes a sound when I first do the show.
Gotcha.
So, super annoying.
Oh no.
Hey, it's Scott Johnson and Brian Ibbett with the Morning Stream PM for August 17th, 2017. Welcome everyone to the show. Brian, it's good to see you again. It's been so long since we last spoke.
I know. It's been so long. And what's funny is it's about to get shorter in future Thursdays.
Yeah. Yes. It will.
Two Thursdays from now, it will be even shorter time between the last time we saw each other. It's basically going to be the regular show. It's going to be an extra long show with a lunch break is what it is.
That's basically it. It kind of used to be that anyway. We used to do 1 o'clock. Or no, we even, was it noon?
I don't think we ever went noon. I think we went 1.
Yeah, we had 1 o'clock when it was at 9 o'clock, the morning show, then we had 1 o'clock, so it was kind of like that. But but don't worry, everyone. You'll get what you need. You'll get what you want. You'll come for us and you'll stay for the whatever word I can't think of.
Plenty of stuff will happen between the morning show and the PM show for us to talk about. I guarantee it
as well.
Justin Wilson used to say.
Oh my gosh, did you reach back in time just now? My heck, I couldn't have thought of his name if you'd asked me.
I couldn't either. And I've talked about how my favorite, I think I've even brought up on the show, my favorite thing about the Justin Wilson cooking show. Mm. And you can go find these on YouTube. He's a Cajun, Cajun cook. And he would wear these like suspenders and blue button-up shirts and work in a hot kitchen. And over the course of the 30-minute broadcast, you'd start seeing him pitting out. And your goal would be to predict when the growing sweat stains under his two armpits would finally meet in the middle. Like at what time signature that would be. It's like hurricane drinking game or something.
Here he is. I got a little video of him here. Let's see if this will play. Yeah.
You know how come the chicken crossed the road, huh? Ready to run away from them Cajuns. I'll tell you right now, because Cajuns will eat most anything, and they love to cook chicken. They love
it. Oh, my gosh. This is basically my wife's family.
Really?
She has a whole swath of her family that live right down there near New Orleans that talk just like this dude.
Now, is that the video you pulled up, is that a 30-minute cooking episode?
This one says 10 minutes, but it doesn't. Let's see.
To eat chicken. That's for true. I'll tell you that right
That's
now.
That's for true.
And today I'm going to cook you some chicken gumbo.
Chicken.
Chicken gumbo.
Chicken. Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm going to go back and watch a bunch of these later. You've got me
in the mood. That's the outfit, too.
Yeah.
I swear to God, that's what my neighbor across the street looks like, just like him.
Like right now?
Yeah, like right now.
Like that's what he dresses like in 2017? Oh, my.
Yeah. Oh, no. He doesn't wear that outfit, but facially.
Here. Is this the Russian guy or a different guy?
No, different guy.
Okay. Too much hassle.
Yeah. So, yeah, looking at this one, it's only 10 minutes long, so he's not pitting out. But I think if we go to... Yeah, there's one here that's 38 minutes long.
Okay. Can you put that in the chat?
I'll put that in the chat.
Put it in Twitch chat. I want to see this.
I hope the video quality gets better because it's a little, it just takes a second for it to catch up quality wise, I think.
So, it's a little quiet. Let's see if I can tweak it. Ah. Okay.
Oh, he's not.
Oh, man, Louisiana. Okay, here he is. He's starting.
They must have really gotten some good air conditioning. I didn't give you a very good one, I think.
He looks a little older in this, too.
Yeah, I think that's about 20 years after the first one we watched.
He's sitting down to eat. He talks just like Kim's uncle. Oh, I guarantee. Like, he used to talk just like this. Yeah, skipping ahead.
Yeah, he's not really pitting out in that one.
Dang it. I wanted to see sweaty Justin Wilson.
I know. Oh, we'll find one. Trust me.
Here's one. Cajun meat and potatoes. All right.
A man or people like the meat and potato. With me, I like them meat and potato too. Us Cajuns like that. We like it Cajun style.
Barely English.
It's barely English. You're right.
Putting it on you.
Cam, skipping ahead.
All right. You need something else.
He's not sweating or here either.
Some Swiss, get them on there. What I call them all the time.
Is he dead? He's got to be dead.
I imagine so, yeah.
Yeah, it's too bad because he, on Food Network, you know what I would watch a lot of? That guy.
Yeah, totally. Oh, yeah.
Yep, you wouldn't have to ask me twice to tune in to Justin Wilson.
They must have gotten some better air conditioning in his studio because all the ones I'm finding are this modern style and he's like, staying cool as a cucumber. Either that or like they have a whole rack of shirts that he goes and changes into.
I got 39 shirts over here, I guarantee. That's amazing. All right, well, there you have it. Oh, War Crusher, you enjoy that? Do you like that, War Crusher? Is that what you're saying? Well, good, because that's great because this.
Radio today is different. Powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
For some reason, there is a sock by my Wacom, and I don't know why. Hold on.
Is it your sock?
I don't think so. Hold on.
Okay.
It's a dark sock. I don't wear these. Looks like Nick's. Why the hell is this here? Going over there. All right. I've tossed it.
I don't know why you just played the evening news bumper, and we haven't even talked about the two things in the top of
the show. Let's do those now. Brian Dunaway, please explain to me. Oh, the eye thing went fine, everybody. If you can't see it in the video, but my left eye is still completely dilated, and it's like I'm two people. It's really weird. They said that the little white thing in the back is my nerve protruding. They don't know why that's happening, except there's usually three reasons for it. One is your eyes just weird. Mm-hmm. They think that's actually the reason. The second reason is lupus. I don't have lupus.
Okay.
And the third reason is either a cancerous or like an infection type growth, and it's neither of those things. So he thinks that it's just I have a weird eye, and I've probably always had this. It's just that up till now, there's been either no reason to look for it there. Or when I had my cataracts done, you couldn't see it anyway because the cataracts were blocking it. So,
gotcha. Okay.
So everything's fine. I don't have to go back for another 6 months to get it looked at again. They just want to keep their eye on it. Literally, I got to keep their eye on it. And he said it was fine, and he had lovely breath today. And
good.
That was great. Cindy was
there. No bigger infraction, I think, than eye doctor with bad breath on Scott Johnson.
For sure. So it went fine. Everything's good. All right. Now tell me about Tadpool Sports Ball Pick'em.
That's right. And this time, don't call me Brian Dunaway like you did a minute ago.
Did I say Brian Dunaway?
You did. Yeah. Brian Dunaway, tell me about. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you about my app.
Did I really just do that?
Brian Dunaway. What?
It should be the opposite where I call him that by accident.
I know. I
spend way too much time with you to have it go the other way. All right. Sorry. Hi. My name is Tom Merritt, and we'll now listen to Veronica Belmont explain sports ball pick'em.
With my robot arms. All right. So, Scott, you and I know diddly squat about football, right?
I know. Well, I'm not.
We know teams. If you say, what's the name of the team that plays in Detroit? You would say
the Lions.
Very good.
Yeah, I know enough about football to know the teams, and I know football, like the game itself. We're not talking about rules, though, right? We're not talking about that.
No, we're not talking at all about rules. No, this is basically a fun segment. So, okay, I'll give a little bit more background, tiny bit more background. All right. I used to be in a football pool with a bunch of friends. One of the guys decided he couldn't do it anymore, so he said, "Hey, Brian, do you mind starting up the football pool and we're keeping it going, and I'm just going to be out for a couple of years." I'm like, "Oh, sure." And then I got into it and I realized, you know what would be fun is to do a football pool with the Tadpool. Mm. And no, we don't have to know anything about football. I mean, sure, okay, maybe it would help, but there's places you can go to look online for that information. And we're not having money changing hands like we may have done with the football pool I was in with my friends. But it would provide some entertainment. It would be a fun little competition-y thing. We could get Mizzoula in here every once in a while to talk about it. Sure. You and I could kind of go head-to-head as like a little subset of this group, and we each pick a game every weekend and say, here's the game I think is going to go this way, and blah, blah, blah. And then we'd look at it Monday and see who's right.
Sure.
All these great things. And decided to take a look at the same tool that we're using for maintaining my friend's football pool, using that on a much bigger scale for the Tadpool. Mm. So, right. Introducing, as you said, the Tadpool Sports Ball Pick'em. This is a league we can have up to 100 players in.
All right.
So you're going to want to get in quickly if you really want to play. One person's going to win. I'm going to give them a big old box at the end of the season of swag, loot crate, nerd block, all that stuff. Like a big bunch of stuff.
All right.
And a big, like I'm saying, a big box of stuff.
Sure.
That's going to be at the end of the season, but we might even have little prizes that we give away throughout the season. If you are a patron, you get to join instantly. I wanted to open it up to Patreons first. So if you are a Patreon, go to the Slack general tab,
mm-hmm.
and you'll find the details in there. You can also email me if you want to know the links. On Monday, I'm going to give out the link and the logins and everything. So anyone who wants to play that's not a patron can jump in at that point, and we can get this thing filled out.
Sure.
Let's see. Thursdays during TMS PM, we might bring Mizzoula in here and make a recommendation sometimes. Who knows? On Mondays, we'll tell you who won the weekend in the Tadpool group. And of course, like I said, you and I will always make our head-to-head picks.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Let's do it. It's like office fantasy football, basically, is what we're doing here.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And it's fun. And the way that it kind of evens up is that, number one, you're picking against the spread, which can help you and which can hurt you, but it kind of evens things out for the people who don't know as much about football. Basically, this moves the line to about the 50-50 mark on some of these games.
Yeah.
And then also confidence points. If you feel really good that your Seahawks are going to crush the Falcons, then you can put more points on that game, or you can put fewer points on a game that's going to be closer, that sort of thing. It's such a, you know, we've leveled the playing field per se for all the people who maybe are really good players versus people who don't know the first thing about football, like you and me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I get you. I don't really follow the season as much as I follow playoffs and, Super
sure,
Bowl, obviously.
Super Bowl, of course. Yeah.
But I love the game of football. And so this might encourage me to care more about the rest of the season. So I'm excited about this.
Sure. Cool.
Let's make it happen. All right. More on that. Like you said, Monday, that other link will go out. I'm a little worried all of them will be gone, but that's okay.
No, oh, no, I don't think so. I think, well, we'll see. You know what? Yeah. And if that's the case, I'll open up. We'll make it two pools, and we'll put prizes in each one. So.
Ah, all right. See, Brian's got a solution for every
contingency. I got a solution for everything. I want to make sure that everyone who wants to play gets a chance to play.
Yeah. Everyone gets a trophy is our goal. No.
Participation ribbon.
Actually, we really want to have a winner, and we will. And if it's one of us, by the way, we will not take the winnings. We will give it to whoever is next in the list of people.
Right. So. Exactly.
Let's move on now to some actual news here. Scientists have created Terminator-style robots with self-healing flesh.
Wow. Okay.
This is true.
Is that really something we needed, though? I mean, robots, great.
Yeah.
But was our big complaint about robots? Well, they need fake flesh, and it needs to be able to heal.
Well, it's a really good question. I asked a robot, and he said... That was actually you.
That was one of my great.
One of the best. I still
it's just creepy.
To this day, I don't know what happened to your mic that day, but that was really weird.
Even the robots are smarter than you.
All right, thanks, Skeletor. Yeah. The human-like abilities of robots continue to develop at an incredible pace, says this article. With droids now being seen to chase targets and even fire guns. By the way, I'm basically reading with one eye today, people, so just bear with me.
Oh, wow. No kidding.
Now scientists have taken the potential for human-like resemblance to the next level with the creation of the artificial self-healing skin. Seems like it would benefit me more than it would a robot, but whatever. If you're stabbed or gashed with a knife, it will heal like freaking Wolverine. The development evokes visions of Arnold Schwarzenegger as the cyborg assassin in the Terminator movies. But fortunately for mankind, these self-healing robots are not likely to go on a rampage anytime soon. For now, they're more likely to be found grabbing fruit, veg, and soft products.
Veg. Okay, well, that explains where this article came from.
The sun.uk or co.uk. Yep. You can also play...
Want to eat your meat and veg.
It says it could play a really big role in prosthetics. So that's where the rubber meets the road for me. Like, literally.
Well said, yeah. Yes.
But we're like, if Brian gets his arm blown off and he has to have a replacement arm, I don't know why I'm using you in this scenario.
Sure.
But let's say that happens.
And I need robot arms.
Yeah, and you're doing something and your arm gets gashed or cut or slashed or whatever. The skin of the prosthetic would heal itself and sort of reform itself, which is pretty cool, actually.
That is really cool, yeah.
So there's that. A woman. Let's talk about a woman.
A woman.
She's 84 years old. 13 years ago, she lost her engagement ring. She was engaged 13 years ago, lost the engagement ring, thought it was long gone, like gone forever, never going to find it again.
Sure.
She found it 13 years later, that is to say right here recently, wrapped around a carrot.
wrapping veg.
She says she lost it while working on her family's farm. What happened is one of these carrots grew into it. And when they went to pull the carrot, they pulled it out, and the ring is, like, wrapped around the carrot. And the carrot's all, like, bulgy where the ring is.
Yeah, so it had to do a couple things. It, number one, had to sink into the dirt.
Yeah.
And then be in exactly the right place for a carrot to make its way through it.
Mm-hmm. And then grow and not die or not, branch out a different direction and never actually
form. So many different ways this could have gone. I guess... You know, they had to have dug up that ground and replanted and all mm-hmm. that stuff.
Yeah, it's great. I would, you know what I'd do? I would try to preserve that carrot and leave the ring on it for as long as possible. I mean, she doesn't need it now anyway. She thought it was lost.
Right.
So just figure out a way to preserve that and put it in a box, like a light box or something. And it would be this forever cool thing of this carrot wrapped in your 24 carat.
Yeah. It would make a good story. I mean, it's not like you couldn't. Well, okay. I mean, I guess you couldn't just shove a ring onto a carrot and because this thing is going to grow around it and it's probably going to bulge on either side and it's going to be very obvious that the.
Right.
The okay.
Yeah. It's pretty cool, though.
It is cool.
I'm impressed. There's video here.
Incredible story.
No, I don't want to hear that, lady. Let's see if we can. Oh, there it is. See how it grew. Let's see. Hold on. Back it up.
I'm guessing like. Oh, yeah. Totally grew. Ugh.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
That is kind of weird.
It's almost like a finger.
Yeah.
Like a hairy man's finger.
Oh, God. That's... Yeah. Reminds me, I think I need to get my ring resized.
Oh, yeah. I do, too. That thing. I need to lose weight and resize it the natural way.
I need to resize my finger, not my ring.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, here's a weird story. Now, this is very visual. I apologize for people listening at home, but this is so strange. So, stray dogs in India... are turning blue because of pollution there. Mm. Now, you think I'm kidding, but watch this video. Did you see this video?
I'm already just seeing the first frame of the video, and it looks like a filter, camera filter has just been applied to the dogs.
Yes, and the dogs, especially that one without the spots, is frickin' blue.
Yeah, like...
Well, there's the video. Oh,
periwinkle.
God. Yeah, look at that. Look at these blue dogs. Oh, that one in the foreground is a broken leg or something. Anyway, they say they think this is from the reason they're getting blue fur is because of the pollution. It says several dogs in India have been caught on camera with bright blue fur, possibly caused by swimming in polluted water. Around 5 strays have been filmed with the strange coloring after swimming in a stretch of the river Navi Mumbai. Mm. It's already grossing me out to even say the word. For whatever reason, it sounds like a dirty river to me. Anyway, it's in India. It isn't clear which chemicals are responsible, but authorities say it could be industrial dye being pumped into the water.
I just feel bad for these dogs. They're, you know, just kind of running around homeless and...
Yeah.
They're just, you know, feral. Well, maybe not feral, but they're just, you know, they're dogs that don't have like a nice fireplace they can curl up in front of at night in the wintertime.
Yeah. Oh, look at this one. This one's hanging out with a goat for some reason.
Is that really a goat, or is that just? I think that's just another dog.
Yeah, was it? Hold on.
Oh, maybe we're looking at different videos or a different segment.
Oh no, that is a dog. You're right. It's later. It's a different video, but
yeah, this is the one with the bad leg.
Oh, poor thing. Look at him. Yeah, they're blue.
Mm-hmm.
That seems wrong, man. Somebody figure that out and fix it. Don't pump stuff like that into the rivers, man. I mean, I don't live in India, so I don't really have much of an opinion because I don't live there. But come on, if your dogs are blue from sleeping in the river, that seems bad for the river.
It seems like, I hope you're not, drinking out of that river, getting water for your cooking and stuff like that. I'm sure it's probably just because they wash their clothes in the river too. So,
yeah. If I ever go to India, here's what I assume I will have the entire time.
Diarrhea.
The entire time. I will never not have diarrhea while I'm in India.
Yeah.
Final story here. The Falcons. You just mentioned them. The Atlanta Falcons.
I did. Just random. My random pick.
Mm-hmm.
Happened to be the Atlanta Falcons.
That's right. They're an NFL team. They will be part of this deal we're going to do. And their new stadium has a Chick-fil-A in it, which will not be open for most Falcon games because they mostly play on Sundays. And this store, like all the rest of them, is shutting down on Sundays.
Well, that's like. Seems so dumb.
It's really dumb.
They've gotta change. They've gotta like make an exception and be open in the stadium on Sundays. Otherwise, it's like the rare Monday night game or the rare Thursday night football game is the only time they're going to be open, and they're paying so much for that space.
Yeah, I don't understand this at all. Honestly, it's really mind-boggling. I actually think it's fine if they've got a corporate policy to do this. I think that's great. They should exercise that decision and do it, and they do on all their other locations. But why are you the restaurant inside the Falcon Stadium if you can't be open on Sundays? That makes no sense.
Yeah.
People play on Sundays. That's the football schedule. Even though, let's see, this is at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, brand new stadium. Stadium just is set to open in about a month in Atlanta. But even though its NFL team tenant plays most of its games on Sundays, that doesn't mean Chick-fil-A is changing its 6 days a week operating hours. Well, how else can you just go in there anytime then? Like, can I go on a Tuesday
and get? I don't know. It seems like an awful lot of effort to.
That's weird.
To park.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you just go to another one somewhere?
And I always assumed it was some sort of religious thing.
Mm-hmm. I thought it Sundays was, isn't deal. It? I thought it was. No.
If it is, they don't. There's a little bit of a hint of religion. So they say, our founder, Truett Cathy, made the decision to close on Sundays in 1946 when he opened his first restaurant in Hapeville, Georgia.
Okay.
Having worked 7 days a week in restaurants open 24 hours, Truett saw the importance of closing on Sundays so that he and his employees could set aside one day to rest and worship if they choose, a practice we uphold today.
Yeah, they're super. The founder dude was super hardcore Christian guy, so I think that's probably tied to that. I went to go search for this. I typed into Google, why does Chick-fil-A, and then I wasn't done. I thought maybe it would say close on Sunday.
Yeah.
Here are the ones it gave me.
Bake a mouse in a bun.
What? Why does Chick-fil-A make me sick is number one. Number two, why does Chick-fil-A only sell chicken? Why does Chick-fil-A make me sleepy? Why does Chick-fil-A spell chicken wrong? And why does Chick-fil-A use messages?
Use messages?
MSG. It's a shortening for I read it as messages.
Well, that's the funny thing. They don't spell chicken wrong. I mean, they spell chick correct.
Yeah.
C-H-I-C-K.
Yeah.
If they spell filet wrong, complain about that.
Yeah, why is this a question? Why? I'm going to finish the search for that one. Chicken with beef, the untold story of Chick-fil-A's cow campaign. 15 things you didn't know about. Oh, you know what it is? It's that cow campaign where the cow scrawls it like with writing and it says eat more chicken. So it's
and so
he's spelling
they're asking
it wrong.
Why the cow can't spell.
Yeah, that's what.
I wish you could remotely disable somebody's internet forever.
I wish I could remotely detonate other people's internet. Eat more chicken. It always says EATMORCHIKIN. Dumb that they're I'm beside myself now. That's really dumb. Well, not as dumb as that's a bad transition. We're going to take a break after that dumb story. We'll come back in a second, talk about some apps. We got your Twitter questions and stuff. But before that, independent song in the middle, I would presume.
Independent music at the halfway marker is what we call this.
Oh, all right.
I don't know. Let's go to Danville, PA for some alt rock from a guy named Robert Hunter, who's got a brand new album called Ditto Baby. This is the title track from said album. He says he's influenced by Counting Crows. Can hear a little bit of that. Definitely some blues. You can find him on Twitter at rhuntermusic. Robert Hunter Music on Facebook if you want to hear more. Here's Robert Hunter with his brand new track, Ditto Baby.
You come a-walking my way, leave me when I say you got everything going on. There's too many reasons and seasons and stupid people all believing they got the right thing when it's wrong. So come on, baby, don't say maybe. See, I can't live without your love. I might be gone when you wake up, and if that's okay, say ditto, baby, 'cause I won't be your Valentine. Just get me drunk on cheap red wine. She said, okay. Baby, ditto, baby. So look at what I found in a small town, in a shit bar that's just too loud. But you know, it's where to find me. And we were the last ones not leaving, spinning records and scheming. If you go, I'm thinking maybe that I can live without your love. I might be gone when you wake up, and if that's okay, say it, ditto, baby. And I won't be your Valentine. Just get me drunk on cheap red wine. Okay, and ditto, baby. And I'm not sorry now. And I'm not sorry now. Okay. Ditto, baby. I won't be your Valentine. Just getting me drunk on cheap red wine. She said, okay. And ditto, baby. I won't live without your love. I might be gone when you wake up, and that's okay. Say ditto, baby.
Yeah, that was lovely. It's, you know, yeah. That was like
Matchbox 20.
Yep.
Had a very Rob Thomas kind of feel to it.
Big
sure.
Time. Yep. It was having a hard time getting the name, but as soon as you said that, boom.
Yeah.
Was
yep.
It, what was his band? Three Doors Down? No,
Matchbox 20.
Matchbox 20. Wait, who is Three Doors Down?
That's Kryptonite.
Oh, yeah. They're kind of like,
if I go crazy, then will you still call me Superman?
Yep. I remember now. Okay, who was no, never mind, I can't think of anymore.
Oh, come on, this is fun.
All right. Who was give me a okay, this will be fun. Song by the Goo Goo Dolls.
All right, Iris, how'd that one go? You're right, this sucks.
It's a terrible game. It's a horrible game. We should be playing this game. All right. Anyway, that was fun. I'm glad we did it. Here's this. Ooh, gets me in the mood. Oh, where's my phone? Frick. Oh, there it is. I got it.
App Slappy.
All right, we're talking about apps. Apps that we are using, like, and otherwise have decided to talk about here on the program. We did talk about magical merchant or whatever, right?
We did. You talked about that last week. Mystical
okay.
merchant.
I want to make sure I didn't miss that one because that's still my kind of pick of the...
That's fun. Yeah, it's a good pick up and play kind of thing.
It's really, really good. So the game I played that I got completely hooked on is called Planet of Heroes. And my phone decided to update that app the minute I opened it. So that sucks. Anyway, so I've always been, I'll just say this, I've been looking for a very long time for a game on iOS or mobile in general that played like a MOBA, but didn't have some of the crappy things I don't like about MOBAs. So most of the ones that are out there, if they're like a MOBA, they're like League of Legends or they're like Dota, where they decide that last hit still matters, or the stupid item store matters, or individual character leveling. All the things I can't stand about most MOBAs.
Right.
But none of the things I really, really like about Heroes of the Storm, which is my favorite in the genre. And I will see one come out, and I'll go, oh, let me see how this is. No, they did a bunch of stuff I hate. Okay, not playing that anymore. Then I'll get another one. Try that out for a bit. Oh, nope, they did a bunch of stuff I hate. Oh, the update finished, so I can look at this. So I finally found this one, brand new game, out just a little bit, called Planet of Heroes. They're running out of names, by the way. I'm pretty sure we're all out of names for video games, because Planet of Heroes is a very boring, dumb name.
It really is, yeah.
But
I would just go right past it. Oh, Planet of Heroes, yeah, what's next?
As you hear a little ambient music. Here, I'm going to play some, I'm going to do some hero voices okay. So you can hear some of these people talk.
Old warrior, best warrior.
He's an old guy. Here's a girl.
Let's crush them all.
Oh, jeez.
Burn and roll. Fear is my weapon.
All right.
The rougher the space, the smoother we sail. All
right, he's a big pirate. Anyway.
Wow.
It's called Planet of Heroes. It's got really nice graphics. It is a MOBA, but it uses the rules, a lot of the rules anyway, that I like about Heroes of the Storm. That being hero leveling, talent picking at new levels, that kind of stuff. It's clear that they got their ideas from that. And I am 100% okay with that, because having a Heroes-like experience on the go has been lovely. I've already gotten 4 characters unlocked just by playing it. You upgrade these things called Sparks that are kind of like your boosters during the game. Kind of like the talents, except, I don't know, it's kind of a long story, but they work really well. I like them. It is graphically really awesome, super animated and rad looking. So chat, I'll show you one of these characters here. Whoops. See that guy right there? Can you see him?
Here. Oh, yeah. So well, I could a minute ago. Now, yeah, there you go.
There he is. I'm going to just rotate him a little bit.
That's cool.
They're animated really well. And they're just like personality, very... kind of Heroes, Overwatchy.
Overwatchy,
whatever.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
Yeah,
huh.
and it's got a really nice look to it. Runs really smooth. Matches are super easy to get into. They don't take forever to play. It's a pretty simple kind of affair in terms of what you're actually doing. There are currently looks like 15 characters, and they're adding new ones all the time. The longest I ever had to wait for a match was like under a minute. So lots of people are playing it. I think it's super rad, and I'm going to recommend it. And this is the first time I found a mobile MOBA that I can really recommend, like actually recommend.
That's cool. I'm looking at it right now. It's like, all right, that guy's almost Groot, and she's almost Raven from Teen Titans. But actually, it still looks really, really cool.
Yeah.
Not too hard to play with only, touch screen.
No. In fact, that's the other thing I like is the controls are really snappy. You do direct character control using a virtual joystick, but here's how they make some of that stuff easier. So whatever your attack range is, when you hold down the attack button, it creates a circle around you that represents the range of either your sword, or if you're a ranged, it has a big circle around you. Mm-hmm. And any enemies, although you can, the closest enemy, I should say, is the one you're going to attack. So you don't have to get real good at like getting up on them or whatever. It'll go to the one you want to attack kind of automatically once you hit that attack button. And all your other abilities, they have lock-on mechanics, and like there's these homing missiles for this little weird midgety guy and stuff like that, that are basically work like normal abilities plus a heroic style ultimate thing. There are also mercenaries to unlock so that they go down the lane and fight for you. It's primarily a single lane game, instead of 2-3 lanes like most of these games, and that's to its benefit because it's, you know, it's a mobile game. You want this to be relatively simple and quick. I like it. I like it a lot. I think it's worth playing. And a team that plays well together wins. So there's definitely strategy there and all that sort of stuff. Team comp matters. That's cool. All that stuff. So anyway, check it out. Planet of Heroes, available now on iOS and Android. We had a guy last week that says he has to quit the show right now because he can't stand that you and I are primarily iOS users.
Oh, geez.
And I said, well, I don't know what to tell you, buddy. I mean, it's not that I don't like Android. I just don't use it. So
yeah, exactly.
That's
yeah.
I always try if that's a
deal breaker, I'm sorry. Hate to see you go.
Yeah, it seems like a strange tiny thing that we do on the show.
That's right.
To leave the show for, but I guess
I'm gonna quit listening because Brian's mustache is brown and his chin is gray.
Yeah, that is some highfalutin bullshit. I'm out.
I don't know what to believe.
Exactly. So anyway, back over to Brian now with his pick for the week.
All right, so Scott, you know I like puzzles.
I do.
You know I like increasing my brain power by solving puzzles and kind of learning something in the process.
Sure.
This is an app that I think is new, but it goes along with a website that I think has been around for a little while called Brilliant.org, and the app is called Brilliant.org.
Mm.
So if there's anything that kind of points to the fact that this is a companion app to a website, that kind of seals it right there.
Sure.
The basic concept of this game, educational piece of software, is that you learn things like probability, physics, algebra, computer science, neural networks, everything through puzzles. So you're given a puzzle like, how many times in a day do the hour and minute hands of a clock form a right angle?
Mm.
And you kind of sit there and think, all right, well, let's see. So every 12 hours, there's going to be a point at which the minute hand is to the right and a point at which the minute hand is to the left, making a right angle. So
it's only ever right angles four times, though, right? Because you got it'd be 3 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
9 o'clock. Well, it may not even be another one. Hold on.
What about when it's 10:05?
10:05. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, so, see, that's there you go. You just proved the whole point of this. That's awesome. I love this kind
of
stuff.
So if you think about every 12 hours, so every hour, there's going to be a point at which the hour hand and the minute hand are like this, and then a point at which the hour and the minute hand are going to be like that. And then, so there's 2 every hour times 12 is 24 times 24, or times, you know, the full day is 48. So you give your answers 48. It tells you if you're right. But then here's the cool thing. Even if you get it wrong, whether you get it right or wrong, you get an explanation about why it's right or wrong. So you don't just say, oh, that's wrong, move on to the next question. You get like, no, here's how you would figure that out. And it's really, really cool. It's like, it combines my two favorite things of like gaming and math and science, which I guess are more than two things I'm combining. But gaming and academia. How's that?
Yeah, and logical, what's the word I'm looking for? Critical thinking. You like that
critical
kind of
stuff.
Critical
thinking. Yeah. You know, don't get me wrong. I like wasting my time with a good game that I can just kind of lose myself in.
Sure.
Heaven knows I've got a dozen of those that I'm playing right now. But
right.
Every once in a while, it's nice to pull up something where it's like, all right, I'm playing a game, but you know what? I might actually learn something while I'm playing it. So the game and the website, I haven't even been to the website yet, but the game is great. Great on the iPad. Looks like it's going to be great on the iPhone too. It's called Brilliant.org. There, it is a freemium, so you can buy additional content. You can go through and do you can do quizzes in all of the categories. And then if you want to delve further into a category, you can actually buy some coins that unlock more of those categories. But at the very least, do the first couple quizzes in each category, see if you like it. Mm. And if you do, then, you know, then invest a little.
So it's asking me some questions about toilets. Let's see how I do. The toilet operates via a chain of effects in fluid mechanics. The crucial ideas we'll need to explain it are driven fluid flows, the hydrostatic pressure of standing water, and the siphon. So I hit continue. Mm-hmm. The first effect was, this is really interesting. And it wants me to ask.
That must be the physics.
Yeah, and it's asking, it's like everyday house physics. And it's asking me, and some of this is like straight up algebra, like, mm-hmm. like you know, assigning values to variables. And
that's right. And Kei Kitsumi, no, it's not all story problems. Like sometimes they'll give you a description before a puzzle, but I would say 90% of the puzzles I've done just go right to the puzzle. Like, all right, Bill wants to figure out what's going to take more. Rolling a 6-sided die 20 times and getting all sixes every time, or winning the lottery, which one has a higher probability of happening. And so you've got to do a little bit of math and just say, all right, 6 times 6 times 6 times 6 all the way up to 20, which is higher. It's really cool. It just makes you feel like you're doing something.
Yeah, no, it's
which
cool.
I need every once in a while.
Yeah, you need to. I agree.
Vegging out in front of the TV watching Big Brother or something. I want to like. All right, let's say I do something intelligent while I'm watching the show.
Yeah, I totally can see that. No, I got this downloaded. I'm going to check this out. The site looks cool, too. They've got a bunch of stuff on here.
Yeah.
That you can use. Looks like it's almost the same in terms of what you have access to, so that's good. There's parity there.
Yeah, and I think it does, right. If you do quizzes on your app, then you'll also do those same quizzes on your login for the site.
Oh, okay, so it syncs up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is available. This is for that guy. It is on both the Google Play Store for Android and the Apple App Store for iOS.
There we go.
It's in both places.
It's available on the Trio.
That's right. Symbian OS 2. And
the Motorola flip phone.
Yep. Yep. StarTAC. It's on the Motorola StarTAC.
StarTAC.
You remember that thing?
Oh, I totally remember that thing.
I think it was a beast. I think it was a beast. You know, I was thinking that today or yesterday, I guess, if Google, Apple already put out that memo internally that like full on like condemns all this Nazi crap. Mm-hmm. And Google apparently has got something similar going on. If Google and Apple are both united in their condemnation of this stuff, mm-hmm. and let's say you're a white supremacist, what do you do? You go back and use some Blackberries? Like, how do you boycott?
To, right. You just keep traveling backwards. Through the
until it's 1714 and you're yeah,
exactly.
Okay, great.
Well, you know what, you like the Confederacy so much, go use the phones that they had during the Confederacy.
Yeah, some good ones.
I'll be waiting for your telegraph.
Yeah. I don't even think they had that, did they? I don't even think that was there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they had.
Did they have telegraphs then? Let's wait, see. Hold on, that came when did the telegraph get invented? Now I gotta know this.
I'm good with science, Scott. I'm not good with history.
Telegraph.
Don't know much about history.
When did the telegraph start? 1837. And the war... Mm-hmm. Hold on. 1837. Yeah, it happened in the middle... Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was before the Civil War.
It was before the Civil
War.
You're
totally
yeah.
right. Yeah, 1861 to 1865. Yep, totally right. Good job, Brian.
Here's Martha.
Stop. I am here in Virginia. Stop. That whole stop thing, I never got that. Was that just to create periods? Is that why they did that? When they'd say stop in their letters?
Yeah, I think so. Exactly. Okay. Probably somebody at some point created a sentence that if you did not put a stop and you just went right into the next sentence,
yeah.
It gave it a completely worse meaning.
Yeah. Dearest Martha, stop. No, really, stop. I don't want to hear from you anymore, Martha.
I hear that Bo Schwartz has been using this. Or not Bo.
John
Jagger has been using this bit on another program.
That's stop. Right. Stop. Tell him to stop. Stop.
Stop. He's sending a cease and desist. Stop.
Yeah, how are you ever in a sentence with stop, then also stop? You know what I mean?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why that was all. That's why
I
that sucks.
I decided to charge over the hill, and I couldn't stop.
We decided to stop for the night. Stop. That's really weird.
Dearest Martha, I don't know where to start. Stop.
See, it's jacked up. That's. I'm glad really we've come. We're further than that now. All right. There's your apps. Let's do some Twitter questions. If I could please have Energy Secretary Rick Perry, please say step up to the mic.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
Thank you, sir. Here is the Twitter questions you guys have sent to the hashtag AskTMS. You've done this on Twitter, and I have collected them here. Here we go. Peter Fisher, always with the timely one,
right?
Says, if you have constant diarrhea, if you visit India, what would happen if you went to Iceland, Argentina, or Canada? Well, probably nothing in Canada or Iceland. I cannot speak for Argentina, though, because don't they have issues with, like, you know, I don't want to drink the water or eat the street tacos, right?
I don't know. I don't know if that's an issue in Argentina.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of, like, what is specifically, like, an Argentinian food.
I can't think of anything
either. Like,
I just think of, like,
Vietnamese and pho, and you've got, you know, all these other areas. Argentinian food very much like Spanish food and Mexican food and South American?
Maybe it's like sopapillas. Maybe they have sopapillas.
Sopapillas. Let's see here. This really feels like this is turning into the
it's good to educate ourselves.
Google stuff.
That's good for us. We don't, you know, you just skip over these things. You get tied up in your own world and you forget how the rest of the world lives. So let's find out. What do they eat down there?
So here we go. Well, there's a cafe in Denver called Lazo Empanadas, a casual cafe serving Argentinian pastries. So empanadas, apparently.
Oh, all right.
Here we go. Oh, this is great. Asado. Top 10 foods to try in Argentina.
Okay.
Argentina.
All right. Don't cry for me, Argentina. Got it.
That's right. So, asado. So, this is the barbecue. You can get this carne asada at, like, a lot of places.
Yeah.
Whole lamb, pig roasting over an open flame, lightly salted, chopped, topped with chimichurri, and paired with Malbec.
Malbec? What's that?
That's a wine.
Malbec! You will leave Malbec. This planet by the end of the millennia and take
of the
your
planet.
Malbec.
Chimichurri is Argentinian.
Okay.
Did not know that.
What's chimichurri? What's that?
That's that green salsa that's got parsley, oregano, onion, garlic, chili pepper flakes, olive oil, and a touch of citric acid like lemon or vinegar.
Oh, okay. I've had that.
Yum. Love that stuff. And yeah. That's like, it makes a much... like a salsa without tomatoes and peppers and stuff.
Yeah, totally. I'd lay that. I'd smear that on whatever. I'd eat that.
So. Provoletta.
Oh.
It's a whole new meaning to grilled cheese. It's basically provolone cheese topped with herbs and then grilled. Then they don't even put it on bread. It's like they just grill provolone cheese with oregano and chili flakes.
That sounds good too.
Does.
Yeah.
Dulce de leche.
Oh, I've had that. Yeah.
Yep. Delicious dessert.
Yep.
Alfajores.
Alfajores.
Okay. Crumbly shortbread like biscuits, sandwiching jams, mousses, or dulce de leche.
Okay.
Empanada.
Nailed it. Nailed it.
Matambre arrollado. This is. I feel like I'm doing that. A Keila Thompson skit from Weekend Update.
Yeah.
Thick slabs of Argentinian meat. Beef, like a flank steak, thinly sliced, stuffed with vegetables, hard-boiled eggs, herbs, and olives.
Okay. That sounds
then
good, too.
Then you boil it, bake it, or grill it.
I feel like these are all sound amazing, but I don't get most of them anywhere. I mean, there's not enough Argentinian places, or there aren't enough, you know, Central American, South American food places that also carry the things you're talking about. I would love some of that. That all sounds good. Yeah. But the question is, if I go down there, am I going to be able to get one on the corner and not spend the rest of my life trying to push a worm out of my butt.
Food truck.
Yeah.
That's I'm here to get some provoleta.
Yeah, give me some provoleta.
Alfajores.
And I would like no diarrhea, please. Neil Patel says, not a question, but Third Eagle has a good video on this sculpture garden in his backyard. He also gives a tour.
Oh, really? So yeah. Like a video where he actually, instead of just standing strategically in front of his favorite pieces in his sculpture garden, but he actually has a video where he... talks about the sculpture garden.
Yeah, I'm interested in that.
I'm going to watch that, and between the two of us, I'm sure we should be able to capture something.
Should be something good out of there. Katie Talmo says, can you recall a moment when something your kid said or did completely shocked you in a good way, bad way, or your choice? Mm-hmm. I'm sure I have. Oh, I know what it was. Nick and I were in a public bathroom, and Nick was in a stall, like a little shorty stall.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, Dad. I go, what? And there's a bunch of people in there. I have a penis. I said, I know. I know you do. Do you have a penis? Yes, son, I do. He's like 3. And I go, I do. And he goes, we all have a penis, don't we, Dad? I said, yes, we totally do. And then he starts walking around to strangers after he's done. Do you have a penis? Do you have a penis? He started talking to all these other people about having their penises or not. That was a great day.
Nice.
Yeah.
great day.
Yeah.
For me, it was, I think it was 7th grade. Tristan was working on, he had to make a model of the Australian, Sydney Opera House.
Mm.
And like a little paper model.
Sure.
And we actually found online a blueprint you could print and then cut out all the little pieces and glue them down and make it. And so I was helping with that. And we were listening to music, like random music from my iPod. And David Bowie's Changes comes on.
Changes.
Exactly.
Yep.
And before I know it, he's singing along to it. Like, he knows the words. He's in 7th grade, and he's, like, singing along to David Bowie's Changes. I'm like, how do you know this song?
Wow.
He's like, oh, there's a version of it on the Shrek soundtrack, sung by somebody else. I think Sky Sweetenham does the version on there. But he knows that well enough to be singing along with him. I'm like, oh, right on. Dude, my kid knows Bowie.
That's pretty
awesome.
He may
not know the Bowie version, but he's singing along with Bowie's lyrics.
Pretty good. That's a really good one. Nick did freak me out when he was 2. He described my dad, even though my dad died before Nick was even a month old. He described my dad to a T one day when he was able to talk. Yeah, and he says he told me, and again, this isn't me saying anything. I'm not making a judgment on this, but at 2 years old, when he's barely able to start articulating and speaking to me, he described what my dad looked like and told me he would sit at the end of Nick's bed at night and read him stories.
Crazy.
At 2 years old.
That's awesome.
And then at 3, it was penises this and penises that. Now at 7, at 17, he doesn't remember any of that.
Wow.
So, next one.
Take that with what you do for what you will.
Yeah. Caesar wrote in. He says, I am an ape. No, he says, zombie apocalypse hits. Would you rather be stuck in Sam's or Costco?
Mm.
Costco, because I know it. The place. I don't know Sam's, so I don't know.
Same for me. I haven't been in a Sam's in years, and I figure it's all. It's just more food, right? It's like.
Oh, I don't know. Is it? I don't even know. I thought it was like a Costco ripoff, but I don't know.
I think it felt like if Costco is 1/3 food, 1/3 clothing, and 1/3 everything else.
Yeah.
Housewares and hardware and bicycles and stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like Sam's Club is more like 60 food, 40 everything else.
Oh, maybe Sam's is the way to go then, because you want to survive longer. But then again, maybe the weapon options are better in Costco.
I think that's what you'd want. Yeah.
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 Well, if it's
my Costco card right here.
If it's mine's here somewhere. If it was just me, my family, and like Brian and his family, Costco, because that's plenty of food for us. But if it's like 300 people all trying to figure it out, maybe we send half of them down to the Sam's Club. I don't know.
And are zombies in there with us?
Oh, yeah. See?
Yeah. Then we'd want the Costco. Yeah. Pants Arsonist says, neither has weapons. Au contraire, Pants Arsonist.
Oh, they have weapons. We know what to do. We can put stuff together. We can fashion them.
Movies, you can make anything into a weapon.
That's right.
Billy.
Yeah. Take that. Final one here from Adam. Let's see. Oh, this is a fascinating one. Adam Moore, Vryn, on the internet says, all restaurants are closing forever. You get to go out for one last meal. Where do you go and what do you order?
All restaurants are closing forever? This is like,
I know,
I'd much rather have the zombie apocalypse with Costco.
I agree. It's the real bummer. This is bad news. I don't.
All restaurants are closing forever.
I would love to know the circumstances behind his fictitious idea, but
they all lost the fast food wars of 2036.
Yeah, killed each other in the process. All restaurants, and if it's not just chains, it's just restaurants in general. There's a place here in town that makes Middle Eastern food called Maza. that I have never, ever had anything short of an amazing experience with in terms of the food. It is so freaking good.
Wow.
So I think there, I think that would be where I'd go. I was so surprised how much I like their food. And it sticks in my head. Anytime I eat anywhere, I'm like, boy, this is good, but it's not like Mazza.
Okay. Well, if all restaurants are closing forever,
yeah,
then I want to go to the sushi place in Japan that where Gyro dreams of sushi.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I want to go to a place where, you know, where I know I'm going to get a fantastic meal, and I'm going to get to travel with it as well.
Yeah, I'm with you. You get to go to Japan.
Right, exactly.
All right. I changed my answer. I'm going to Japan, too, and I'm going to go there, too.
Cool. Hopefully the waiting list won't be too bad if all restaurants are closing.
Let's see. I think those are it for today.
Yeah, oh, really? That's
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I didn't really put the word out, so we don't have a lot of new ones. But that's okay. It's time anyway. We're going to go now. Hey, when we come back Monday, there'll be a new show, and you can all be here for it. I can promise you that. It's going to be a weird week next week, but all normal until Wednesday, I guess. Or
Till Tuesday, actually. Tuesday, I'm traveling, so.
That's right. Till Tuesday. Great band. Name the song. What's the song? Till
Voices
Tuesday.
Voices Carry is the big one.
Voices Carry.
Hush, hush. Keep it down there. Voices Carry.
I used to love that song.
Yeah. Amy Mann, still amazing.
Yeah.
Still doing some great stuff.
By herself, I assume?
And cleaning houses in Portland.
Oh, really?
No, not really.
Oh. All right. Well,
no, there was an episode of Portlandia where Fred Armisen and Carrie Brownstein are looking, saying, doesn't the new cleaning lady look a lot like Amy Mann?
It's such a stupid thing for that show to say.
It really is.
Yeah.
Are you Amy Mann? Yeah. Yeah, I am. Okay.
Yeah, I can picture it right now in my head.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's all next week. Come on back for that. Thanks everybody for supporting us on patreon.com/TMS, for without that there is no fifth show a week, and so we really appreciate that. Also, help us get to the monthly show that is the Frog Pants All-Stars. Get over there, check it out, up your pledge, talk to your friends. We got to get there. Things have slowed a bit, but we want to get it going. We want to make it happen. But it costs money to do. So anyway, check that out. Patreon.com/TMS. For everything else, frogpants.com/TMS. And that's that's it. We're done. Let's get out. Do you have some music?
Okay. I always have music, Scott. You should know this about me.
Oh, all right.
I've got a thing coming from Mark Larson from Sandy, Utah.
Whoa,
says,
hold on a second.
Do you know Mark Larson?
Mark Larson is the Mark I talked about that we used to go to Xenon with and is...
Oh, really?
Was my best friend growing up. Yeah, we went to junior high and high school together. All right, go ahead.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
He, according to my spreadsheet, I'm realizing through whatever maybe error on his part, he placed this request 1 year ago today.
Oh,
on 8/17/2016, date of request 8/17/2017. So I don't know if he really meant to do it 1 year in advance, but I'm just now really, because I was going to say, I wonder if he posted this request before you talked about him about Xenon.
Oh, maybe.
Sure enough, he posted it 1 year ago today.
Did he really put? It shows the state or the date stamp of a year ago.
Yeah, exactly. And you actually have to type in the date you want the request to be played. So he must have.
He must have either goofed up or intentionally wanted it a year later.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. He says, hey, Brian, and that other guy. I can't remember his name. Anyway. I'm not a big Pearl Jam fan beyond one or two songs. However, their cover of Victoria Williams' Crazy Mary is hauntingly beautiful. The song always gives me chills. Sure. Happy to play it for you. This one comes from an album, a tribute that was released to raise money for... medical expenses for artists who are independent and don't get medical insurance.
Sure.
And Victoria Williams was kind of the key to that. She's what does she have? She has MS, I think. I can't remember. Oh, I should remember what she's got.
Mm.
Anyway, she's married to one of the guys from the Jayhawks.
Oh.
You know the Jayhawks?
Yeah, the Jayhawks.
I was waiting for the sun.
Yeah. Those guys. Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, so they put out an album in 1993 called Sweet Relief, a benefit for Victoria Williams, where everybody covered a Victoria Williams song. Here is Pearl Jam and their cover of Crazy Mary.
Nice. Here it is. We'll be back Monday. Take it easy.
She lived on a curve in the road in an old tar paper shack. on the south side of the town, on the wrong side of the tracks. Sometimes on the way into town, we'd say, Mama, can we stop and give her a ride? Sometimes we did, but her hands flew from her side. Wild-eyed, crazy Mary. Down a long dirt road, past the Parsons' place, the old blue car we used to race. A little country store with a sign tacked to the side said no L-O-I-T-E-R-I-N-G-A loud. Underneath that sign always congregated quite a crowd. Take a bottle, drink it down, pass it around. Take a bottle, drink it down, pass it around. Take a bottle, drink it down, pass it, pass it, pass it around. One night, thunder cracked, Mercy backed outside her windowsill. Dreamed I was flying high above the trees, over the hills. Looked down into the house of Mary. Marable palm, newspaper covered walls, and Mary rides. Rising up above it all. Saw some skid marks and followed them around, over the curb, through the fields, into the house of Mary. That what you fear the most could meet you halfway. That what you fear the most could meet you halfway. Around. Take a bottle, drink it down, pass it down, pass it around. Pass it in. I take a bottle, drink it down, pass it, pass it in, pass it around.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Uh-oh.
What's the matter?